Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean Wilson, and with me is Julia Mon.
Hi, everyone.
What's up?
What's new, Father Sean?
Well, by the time you're listening to this, I will have returned from vacation. Or no, I will be on vacation.
You'll be on vacation.
Yes. So.
Oh, yeah. So how's your vacation going?
It's going so well. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
I'm right now with my brother and sister-in-law. They're expecting a child. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, they are. So April.
Oh, no, wait. Are you going north?
Double brother.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Georgia for 4 days, and then I'm going to Connecticut for 3.
Okay.
So at this point, this gets released on Fridays.
Sure.
Thursday, I'm flying from Georgia to Connecticut.
Okay, so this is your younger brother.
My younger brother.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
They're expecting. So that's exciting.
That is.
Yeah.
All right.
So the baby will be born right around their first anniversary, so that's always good news.
That is good news.
What a little anniversary gift, huh?
That's great.
So.
That's awesome. Okay, so vacation's going well.
It is. Yeah, thanks for asking. Time with my brother and his kids and my parents was splendid. My sister-in-law too.
Yeah.
We went to the Georgia Aquarium on Wednesday.
I can't wait to actually follow up when you get back to actually see if this all is how it went down.
Yeah. Well, that's my Christmas gift to my niece and nephew. Mm-hmm. Is to take them one day to the Georgia Aquarium.
That's cool.
Yeah. So you have to get the tickets and then get the time slots because
they scatter the time, whatever.
So. Yeah. So we are going on Wednesday. We went on Wednesday. Yeah.
It's planned.
That's right.
That's right.
And also we had on Monday our Callers and Questions live from Georgia. Remember when
we did that?
Yeah. So
yeah.
My brother and I kind of beforehand we were talking about like, do we want to do this? We could. It was kind of fun. And then my sister-in-law was like, yes, you're doing this because I have more questions. So if you remember, like back in June of like 2020, we did this. And my sister-in-law had a bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. She had more deeper questions this time that she wanted to ask.
I meant to say that was so awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed tuning in.
That's right.
On that Monday.
That's right.
You guys did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Did you just flip your hair?
I did.
Did you just flip your beard? It's getting long enough that maybe someday
you could
do that.
It's getting there. One of these days could be that long.
Is that the dream for you?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
It could be a nightmare. It might happen anyways. Who knows?
Who knows? Okay.
Although somebody gave me some beard stuff for Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Which I'm not normally like a product, you know? Like
sure.
I get like, what's the biggest, cheapest shampoo I can get? Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gets confiscated on when you're traveling.
That's right. So sometimes that's right. That security takes it.
It was a game we played. Something didn't make it through security. What do you think it was?
Yeah.
It was shampoo.
Shampoo. Anyways, somebody got me in this beard stuff, got beard shampoo.
Ooh.
I didn't know there was a specific kind of beard shampoo. Mm. So this morning was the first morning that I used the beard shampoo.
Yeah.
So can you tell?
No. There was a part of me that wanted to like lie there and just say, yeah, oh, absolutely. I noticed it's much softer or the color is really popping, but no, I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it feel different? Does it feel different? It's beard shampoo?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
It smelled different because it smells different than my normal shampoo. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're listening, I don't need a lot of beard shampoo. I know sometimes as soon as you mention something, people will go out and be like, ooh. Yeah. This is what we're going to get Father.
Right.
It's a very thoughtful and kind gift, but the beard doesn't stay around all year. So.
Sure. One bottle is good.
One bottle is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Two bottles over the top. Thanks for everybody's generosity. People are so nice.
People are so nice.
It's humbling to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else is nice?
Tell me.
Our Lord.
Yes.
So we should jump into this podcast.
Sounds good.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself. We thank you for sending your Son in person in Jesus Christ so that we may behold his glory. And we ask that you may be with us at this time, all of those listening to this podcast, all of those who are far from you, that you may draw them into your glory as you have redeemed all of us from our sins. We ask this all through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
So what are we talking about?
Jesus.
You say that.
But we really are.
Darn it.
Two parts of his life.
Yeah.
The transfiguration and the entrance into Jerusalem. So right. 554 to 560 in the catechism. Okay. We're in the first part, the creed about I believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we're learning about who this Jesus is.
Who dis?
All right, so first, the transfiguration.
Mm-hmm. So if you remember, towards mm-hmm. the end of the Gospels, but it's peculiar. It's in the midst of three times Jesus predicts his passions, right? The Son of Man is going to be handed over. He's going to be suffered. He's going to die. And on the third day, he'll raise. He does that like three times. So not word for word the same, but he's still mm-hmm. predicting his passion. In the midst of that, I believe it's in between the second and third time mm-hmm. in Mark's gospel. He takes Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor, and he's transfigured. And basically his face, his garments is shown bright, like the mm-hmm. Father's glory is revealed. What he's been hiding, his divinity is blowing up from mm-hmm. the inside out, mm-hmm. and they're dumbfounded by it. And mm-hmm. we'll jump into the gospel accounts eventually. Mm-hmm. Moses and Elijah show up there. It's like, where'd mm-hmm. these guys come from? Mm-hmm. Yep.
So a couple of highlights. This is happening before the entrance in Jerusalem, which we'll talk about right. here in a second.
Right.
It's, as you mentioned, it's happening after he's predicted that this is how he's going to die. Mm-hmm. This is what he's come here to do. The disciples, those following him, not surprisingly, are perhaps struggling with that prediction.
What you talking about, Jesus?
Right? Not on my watch.
Yeah.
That's Peter. Yeah. He said that exactly. Peter. Not right. on my watch, Lord. No, he didn't.
He says, get behind me, Satan.
And Jesus says, exactly that. Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking as man does, not mm-hmm. as God does. So the disciples are struggling with this reality that this man that they have come to follow for the past 3 years closely, been watching him, have come to believe that he is the one to come, is now going to suffer this brutal death.
Right.
They're struggling. It makes sense that they're struggling with that. And Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up this mountain before mm-hmm. this is happening, right? That's significant. This is happening on top of a mountain.
Quiz show.
Oh gosh, quiz show. Three episodes in a row.
I know.
All right.
What is another instance in the gospel that Peter, James, and John are there?
Oh, the agony in the garden.
The agony in the garden. Mm-hmm. Isn't that mm-hmm. great? Mm-hmm. Quiz show round two.
Oh gosh.
The transfiguration is always a gospel. Oh. The same week every year. And in year A, it's always from Matthew. Mm-hmm. And year B, it's always from Mark. And year C, it's always from Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to ask you this, okay. but I'm going to anyways.
Okay.
What Sunday of the year do we always get the Gospel of the Transfiguration? The Feast of the Transfiguration is August 6th. So it's not the feast proper okay. of the Transfiguration. Because okay. that's
going to fall on a weekday. Guess. Okay.
Yeah.
When are we getting it? In the lectionary, that's not the Feast of the Transfiguration. Well, rationally, it would make sense that this would happen, like, before Palm Sunday. So, like, it would happen, like, the Sunday before Palm Sunday? No? After. What am I saying?
The second Sunday of Lent.
The second Sunday of Lent.
Yeah, the okay. first Sunday of Lent is always mm-hmm. the temptation in the desert. Mm-hmm. And the second Sunday of Lent is the...
Transfiguration.
Is the transfiguration. Okay. The third, the fourth, the fifth Sunday mm-hmm. of Lent are the three scrutinies.
Okay.
And so the Gospels kind of get flipped around depending mm-hmm. on who's coming in the church and what Mass. Mm-hmm. Then the sixth Sunday of Lent is Palm Sunday.
Okay. Well, that makes
That's
sense.
That's Lent.
That would make sense.
Let's get to Easter.
Right.
It's been great being with you, and we'll see you next time. Okay. So yeah. Anyways, that's transfiguration.
Okay. And that makes sense. That makes
yeah,
sense.
It does.
And again, we're going to talk about the entrance into Jerusalem, which is what we would hear on Palm Sunday, right? So that would make sense that we're hearing
yeah.
this.
The first gospel on Palm Sunday, right? You get double gospel.
Correct. Thank you. Yes.
All the way.
The entrance gospel.
That's right.
That's not the official term. All right. So this is when this transfiguration, like kind of in context, when this is happening. It's happening on this high mountain with Peter, James, and John. In 555, paragraph 555, we read, for a moment, Jesus discloses his divine glory, confirming Peter's confession. He also reveals that he will have to go by the way of the cross at Jerusalem in order to enter into this glory. As you mentioned, Moses and Elijah are there in this vision, in this transfiguration. And Christ's passion is the will of the Father. The Son acts as God's servant. The cloud that we read about in this transfiguration indicates the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the whole Trinity appeared, the Father in the voice, which we should read that. I suppose we haven't said that yet. Mm-hmm. The sun in the man who is being transfigured, and then the spirit in the cloud. Okay. So the voice, what do we hear when it says we're hearing God's voice? So Jesus, they go up this high mountain. Jesus is being transfigured in the midst of this cloud. Moses and Elijah are there, which are pointing to what? Can you enlighten us on that? Like, what are Moses and Elijah?
Traditionally, it's the law and the prophets. Moses represents the law. Mm-hmm. He gives the Ten Commandments. He receives the law, Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. And Elijah is one of the prophets. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I had a professor that actually said, well, maybe, but maybe something else.
Oh.
He said both of them had unfinished business. Moses did not lead the people into the promised land, right? He watches them enter the promised land, and Elijah gets taken up in his fiery chariot.
Right.
And just kind of like mid scene, poof, Elijah's gone.
Right.
And so Jesus comes to finish the business is basically what his inside thought. Oh, that's a whole new take.
That is interesting.
And of course it can have multiple meanings because this is the word of God. So
absolutely.
Chew on that.
I will. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So the voice calling out at this time, this God, the Father, as this is all happening. And as you mentioned, the three that are there, they're seeing this and they are astonished.
Right. And they hear, mm-hmm. right? This is my beloved son mm-hmm. in whom I'm well pleased. Quiz show.
Listen to him.
Right.
Okay, quiz show. You're having fun with this.
Hi, this is, I'm on a roll.
All right, let's do it.
What's the other gospel that we hear the voice of the Father say, this is my beloved son?
The baptism.
Which is, it was last weekend as we're filming this, right?
Okay.
So it's this weekend, mm-hmm. but as this is released, it's last weekend.
My head just exploded. I don't know what you're saying, so you have to finish that thought.
Okay, so we're recording this, and the upcoming Sunday gospel is the baptism.
Okay.
When it's released, it'll be the previous Sunday
okay,
gospel.
Okay, I got you now. Okay.
The 9th of January.
Gotcha.
The gospel mm-hmm. is the baptism. The feast is the baptism of Jesus.
We got it. Okay.
So all we right. got a little connection.
So yes, we do hear God the Father voice at that time too. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right?
Yep.
All right.
oh, and it actually makes a point of that in the yes. catechism, right? On the threshold of the public life, the baptism, on the threshold of the Passover, the transfiguration. Mm-hmm. So there's this revelation of the Trinity that starts the ministry of Jesus mm-hmm. and starts the passion. Mm-hmm. And well, there's many differences, but the Trinitarian difference is in the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. descends like a dove at the baptism, mm-hmm. but is the cloud of glory in mm-hmm. the transfiguration.
Mm-hmm. So this transfiguration is like a preparatory thing for the disciples for mm-hmm. Jesus thinking about the baptism, right? Like you said, the baptism of the Lord happens on the threshold of his public ministry beginning, right? It was after he was baptized. He sent out, proclaimed the gospel, worked all his miracles, healed, all that good and wonderful public life.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the threshold of the Passover, where he's finally going to, as I mentioned, this is the will of the Father. He's going to succumb to the will of the Father. That's what he's here to do. And that is where we're getting this transfiguration. So this transfiguration is giving the disciples a foretaste of Christ's glorious coming, when he will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body. And it's not coincidental that this is happening before his passion, like, because again, remember the context of this, he's predicting that this is happening. The disciples are struggling. God is love. God is mercy. God doesn't want us to struggle. It's part of it here, but he also gives us the grace. Like we talked about last episode, he gives us the grace to persevere, to be determined, to have the fortitude to walk with him and journey with him even during times of struggle. And so Christ is wanting to do that. God the Father is wanting to do that in this situation as well. The disciples are struggling. They have this miraculous supernatural experience of seeing Christ in all of his glory. They don't know how to explain it. It stops them in their tracks. Peter, after he sees it and not knowing what he is saying, it's good that we're here and let's never leave. Let's build three tents, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And this, we just stay right here. This mm-hmm. all sounds good, right? But this is happening to give the disciples the grace to withstand what is about to come. His passion, his passion is death, right? Yeah. And the Lord often does that in our own lives as well, not on this scale of the transfiguration, but we see it often a lot. Like perhaps prior to some particular heavy cross being placed on our shoulders, we have this miraculous moment of grace where mm-hmm. like we know that we know that we know that this is God. We're like confirmed in the certitude that this is the Lord. This is what he's asking me to do. This is great. This is good. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, hold on now.
Yeah.
There's doubt. There's darkness. There's fear. There's trembling. There's pain. Hold on now. But the Lord gives us kind of sometimes these moments to kind of look back on and say, believe, right? Take a look back. Remember what I told you, as God the Father says in this, or as Jesus says to the disciples when he wakes them up in their astonishment, get up, do not be afraid, right?
Right. And then he even prepares, like, you're going to need this later when he says, don't tell anybody about this until I've risen from the dead.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and when that happens, tell everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that's great.
So they got to remember that.
Mm-hmm. So this also recalls, and this is paragraph 556, the transfiguration gives us a foretaste of Christ's glorious coming when he will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body. I read that before. But it also recalls that it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God.
Fact. We'll just leave that at that because...
If anyone's telling you anything different...
Yeah.
Run. No.
Read the next chapter in the catechism where it's talking about the entrance into Jerusalem.
Yes.
Right? Because that's how Jesus is going to enter the Father's glory, is through the cross.
So St. Augustine continues this. He doesn't end with fact. Leave it at that. St. Augustine gives us something to chew on here.
Okay.
So we'll continue with him. He writes, Peter did not yet understand this when he wanted to remain with Christ on the mountain. It has been reserved for you, Peter, but for after death. For now, Jesus says, go down to toil on earth, to serve on earth, to be scorned and crucified on earth. Life, this is speaking about Jesus who is life himself. Life goes down to be killed. Bread goes down to suffer hunger. The way goes down to be exhausted on his journey. The spring goes down to suffer thirst. And you refuse to suffer?
Good point, Peter.
Good point, Augustine, to
That's
Peter.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking, so as you were reading that, I was thinking about what happens when they go down the mountain.
Yeah.
Because they come down the mountain, it's just like chaos.
Right.
Because there's the guy whose son's possessed and the disciples can't drive out the demon. And Jesus is like, well, this one takes prayer. I was like, what do you think we were doing? Mm-hmm. So it's chaos when they get down there. And yeah, that's our, you know. Sometimes that's like we get a few minutes to pray and then we just go back into chaos. And you think like, oh my gosh, shouldn't things be peaceful and everything be easy? It's like, no, not really. He prepares us, gives us that little breathing, the little revelation of his glory, and then go get them.
Get back down there.
Yeah.
And do not be afraid.
Right.
Get up. Do not be afraid. I'll be with you.
Right.
This is the message he gives. The disciples are astonished. Peter, of course, wants to stay on the mountain. He wants to build the three tents. Who blames him?
Yeah.
Sounds sweet. I'll join you. Like, how many times have we done
that?
You
like camping?
Not in tents. I'd be one of those bougie campers.
What if Peter said that? Let me pull up my Winnebago, Lord.
Electricity, running water, you know, all of that.
That's right. S'mores.
Right, exactly.
Sorry.
No, true. So, but I can relate with Peter on more than just this occasion. But then, yes, so Jesus encouraging them to say, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reality. This is part of the life here. And I'm setting my face like flint. Whether you leave me or not, this is what I'm going to go do.
Right.
So we're heading back down. And again, think about the ascent, the end. That has great purpose and meaning that this is happening on the mountain. In brief section in paragraph 568, it reads, Christ's transfiguration aims at strengthening the apostles' faith and anticipation of his passion. The ascent onto the high mountain prepares for the ascent to Calvary.
Hmm.
So again, this ascent, this transfigured glory, is this preparation to prepare us for the ascent that is happening on Calvary. And we need that. Oh my goodness, do we need that?
Boy, do we. But Jesus makes another ascent to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Maybe we'll flip to the entrance into Jerusalem. So I think everybody, you know, like we enact this in some ways on Palm Sunday as people come with their leafy branches that they've cut from the trees, preparing for the Lord's entrance. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which, you know, that gets written right into the Mass as we're preparing for the Lord to come. And, in Calvary on, mm-hmm. Upon the altar. So, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, so he enters into the city of Jerusalem. We fairly well know that, mm-hmm. at least mm-hmm. the basic outline of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first, I mean, the first thing, like, at least that really struck me in like 557 is by this decision, he indicated that he was going up to Jerusalem prepared to die there. Like, there's a great intentionality
yeah.
in Christ. It's not like just an accident. It wasn't just happenstance that mm-hmm. that he happened to die. It's like, oh, wish it wouldn't have happened that way. It's like the Lord is in charge of this, which makes his offering of his life a real offering. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, shoot, a just man was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually, no, he offered his life. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm. As he's coming to the city of David, as being hailed as the son of David, the heir to the Davidic throne. And so, yeah, there's a great intentionality with the Lord there.
Yeah, like you said, that he willingly is mm-hmm. is giving his life. This is not happening by accident. And some translations of scripture will say, like, he was resolutely determined. Set his face like flint. This is happening. And he is mercifully and compassionately, empathetically walking with his disciples who are following him, who are struggling with this reality because they love him and they don't want to see him hurting and suffering. But he came here to do the will of the Father. And mm-hmm. he's been preaching that since the time he was a little person lost in Jerusalem, right. or lost in the temple, right, to Mary and Joseph. Like,
I got to be about my Father's business.
Yeah. Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business, right? Mm-hmm. So this is why he is here, to do this. He sets his face like flint for this reality. And it is interesting, too, this points out this section about, you know, there were many times while Christ was in his public life, in his public ministry, amidst the miracles, the healings, all of that was happening, where people wanted to make him king.
Right?
They wanted all this attention. It was in the lectionary, sorry, where we're reading about the miracle of the fishes and the loaves, and people want to crown him because they just fed him from nothing, right? And he sends the disciples away, and
he goes and prays.
Dismisses the people and leaves and prays. So he's avoiding this notoriety of people trying mm-hmm. to make him a king. He's going out of his way so that that doesn't happen. But here, he allows it. Right here at this time, this entrance into Jerusalem, mm-hmm. now that this time has drew near, now that this time of fulfillment has come, this is the time he allows the poor, the beggars, those around him to declare what is the reality, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And even as he gets up there, you know, there's like this emotion of him knowing what's going to happen. You know, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not.
Right.
And even he weeps over Jerusalem just because of the lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's that tears him apart. But it's that he's going to restore. It's mm-hmm. that what he's going to heal, what he's going to fix is the people's infidelity. So there'll be one that is faithful to the point of death
mm-hmm.
that saves the lack of faith
mm-hmm.
from all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so go get him, Jesus. Okay. You know, like, go offer your life because of our lack of faith, our own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this kind of reminded me, and I know it was because I was preparing at the same time with the last episode over the desire of happiness, and we were reading about the Beatitudes and what true happiness is. But we read in one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, pure of heart, for they shall see God. What does that actually mean? And we can see Jesus's pure heart in this. This is in paragraph 558. So he's seeing, he's longing for the conversion of Jerusalem. He's pained that this is the reality. But he's not discouraged by that reality. His pure heart allows him to always see God and see what actually is happening beyond this distress that he's seeing in front of him. So mm-hmm. he can see beyond that and through his pure heart and actually see as God sees things, which he is God. So that makes sense, right? But that's that reality when we are pure of heart, when the Lord has, you know, when we're living in that beatitude, that paradoxical promise of the Beatitudes, then we can see things through God's perspective. So the pain, the suffering, the tragedy, I mean, it hurts to see. Look at Jesus's heart calling out when he's longing to gather these together. But at the same time, it doesn't defeat you. You keep mm-hmm. your eyes on the victory won for us on the cross.
Right. It doesn't turn to hopelessness, despair.
It is. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, and then I guess in connection with the Old Testament, what our Lord is doing here is basically showing that he is the longed for Messiah. You know, mm-hmm. it's that, you know, he doesn't correct people when they say, you know, blessed is he who comes who comes in the name of the Lord, you know, as the King of Glory. Like he's showing, I am this King of Glory. Mm-hmm. I am this Messiah. So often he had refused, as you mentioned, all of those other times when they tried to make him the king. Mm-hmm. But now is the time for him to be shown, to be revealed as the longed for, awaited Messiah, mm-hmm. coming into the royal city of David, into Jerusalem. And just as the 560, Jesus's entry into Jerusalem manifested the coming of the kingdom that the King Messiah was going to accomplish by the Passover, his death and resurrection. It is with the celebration of that entry on Palm Sunday that the church's liturgy solemnly opens on Holy Week. Mm-hmm. So we enter into that every single year. And isn't that beautiful that it's not just like the liturgy makes that present every single year. It's good for us to remember that. And even mm-hmm. sometimes every time we come into church, like, and even as the procession, the opening procession of Mass, in some ways is a remembrance of that procession to Calvary, is a reminder of that the Lord goes out upon this way, and you know, it's glorious, it's triumphant. Sometimes there's beautiful music and all of that, but it's similar to this, right? Where he's entering Jerusalem amidst celebration to die, to offer his life. So
willingly, very willingly,
yeah, intentionally, mm-hmm. with great love.
All right, we got to talk about it. Ridiculous donkeys. Can we talk about ridiculous donkeys?
Sure.
And redonkulousness?
Sure.
Because donkeys show up.
Donkeys do show up.
and
there's an ass in this gospel.
We cannot avoid that. It's no. True. In all seriousness, in paragraph 559, we read that acclaimed as son of David as the one who brings salvation. Hosanna means save or give salvation. The King of Glory enters his city riding on an ass. And I read that, and this is the reality. He's riding on a donkey, and we read about this, and we can read about how he told the disciples to go get the donkey, what he needs to do, mm-hmm. tell him the Lord has need of it, we'll return it, all that stuff. But you read that, and you think, man, if that's all I am is an ass that the Lord is riding on, it sounds good.
That's St. Francis would call it. Yeah. I mean, like, that was part of St. Francis's spirituality. Yeah. So much that he called his body, mm-hmm. like, and especially when it, like, wouldn't, you know, he wants to, you know, it was inordinate or anything like that, like mm-hmm. all of ours are. He would call his body Brother Ass.
I love it.
You know? Isn't that great?
That's so awesome. Yeah.
Brother Ass is tired today.
ridiculous donkeys, in the best sense of the word.
Redonkulous.
Redonkulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Good catch. Way to not let that one pass.
You're welcome. I don't know if that's really you're welcome, but anyway. Okay. Can you recover from that? What else do you have?
I don't know if I have anything else.
Please let's not end on this note of ridiculous donkeys.
Well, there was something I also got the, I printed out the,
Parallel,
the gospel parallel mm-hmm. for both of these. There's just one thing noticed on the at the end of the Gospel of Luke's account that I had never noticed before. So the people end saying, this, the first part's kind of familiar, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. But then it ends with peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Mm-hmm. I thought, darn, we just heard that at Christmas, right? That sounds like the message of the angels all over again, like very nicely bookend, because that comes... The announcement of the angels comes in Luke's gospel. It's the same, like there's a beautiful thing written mm-hmm. here, you know? So you get the basically what the angels announcing that the Messiah is born mm-hmm. in the city of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Now the people have mm-hmm. believed on their own and mm-hmm. acclaim the same thing. Glory mm-hmm. to God in the highest, peace in heaven. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's just like, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I never noticed that before. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't think I have anything else to add to this.
Well, is it dart time?
I think
you
so.
You look like something's else on your mind, though.
No, I'm just kind of really like still thinking. Like, was there anything else? I mean, I brought up the donkey thing, so
yeah.
I feel like my work here is done. So I kind of peaked. So as you're crossing that off and getting ready, I'll read a couple of the in brief paragraphs. Christ's transfiguration aims at strengthening the apostles' faith in anticipation of his passion. The ascent onto the high mountain prepares for the ascent to Calvary. Jesus went up to Jerusalem voluntarily, knowing well that there he would die a violent death.
because of the opposition of sinners. And Jesus' entry into Jerusalem manifests the coming of the kingdom, that the Messiah King, welcomed into his city by children and the humble of heart, is going to accomplish by the Passover of his death and resurrection.
Ooh, nice.
Good stuff. Okay.
You got any place where you really got a hanker in? I mean, look at all these. I'm just going to throw it.
Should do it. Yeah, we got so many left.
Ooh, that's a new one.
You stuck it in the shelf.
I stuck it in the shelf.
Yeah, that is new.
The first commandment, 2083 to 2094.
All right. I like that.
How did I stick it in the shelf? It bounced off and went down.
Well, you know what they say. One hand throws the dart and the other hand guides.
It is what they say.
So the Lord wanted to humor you today, suppose.
He's been humoring me a lot today.
Okay, I have got something circled here. This is something that was in this section as a footnote in paragraph 555, which is from the Byzantine liturgy, talking about the transfiguration. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And it kind of ties it all together. So we'll just end there. You were transfigured on the mountain, and your disciples, as much as they were capable of it, beheld your glory, O Christ, our God, so that when they should see you crucified, they would understand that your passion was voluntary, and proclaim to the world that you truly are the splendor of the Father.